Now, two things New Zealand has that Australia doesn't: a treaty with its first peoples and a poet laureate. The Treaty of Waitangi was signed on February the 6th, 1840, between representatives of Queen Victoria and ultimately more than 500 Maori tribal chiefs. It is New Zealand's founding document. But what of the poet laureate? Her name is Selina Tusitala Marsh, and she joins us now from lovely Waiheke Island in the outer reaches of Auckland Harbour. Thank you for joining us, Selina. What is a poet laureate?
Tala falava, Hugh. Oh, it's wonderful here on Waiheke Island as well. Well, a poet laureate has its origins in Greece, ancient Greece. For New Zealand, it is someone who is whose services to poetry are recognised and who is meant to promote and advocate poetry to and for and on behalf of New Zealanders for a period of 2 years.
Now, your payment includes a magnificent, as I understand it, carved wood walking stick, a tokotoko, and you also got to read a poem in front of the Queen. Tell us about that.
Well, that commission to read for the Queen came after I was awarded Commonwealth Poet for 2016, and that was the gig that came with that particular recognition. And I had to adhere to quite strict rules around the composition of it. The Queen has this event. She established it in 1953. She sets the theme for it every year. She is there every second Tuesday of every March since 1953, and it was a great honour and privilege to be able to represent New Zealand, the South Pacific, my grandfather's island of Tuvalu, you guys, of course, Australia, and the rest of the Commonwealth at Westminster Abbey. It was amazing.
And what were the most memorable aspects of that? You met the Queen, you met other members of the royal family. Who struck you as most impressive?
Well, of course, Prince Philip, right? I mean, he is the most memorable, and he gave me the perfect line for a story about the Commonwealth that I've since published. But he had asked me later on at the reception at Marlborough Palace, he asked, you know, he said to me, "Well, so what do you do?" And he had just seen me performing at Westminster, and I was the only 6 foot Samoan in bright blue Samoan traditional dress, you know, reciting poetry. So I said to him, "Oh, I'm a poet, Your Highness." And he replied, "Yes, yes, but what do you do?" And so I said to him, "Well, I lecture in Commonwealth, in post-colonial literature at the University of Auckland in New Zealand." And he looked at me, tilted his head, and replied, "Post," and then he walked off.
So, so he was rather keener on the colonial literature, was he? What a character.
Of
course, he does put his finger on something when he said, you know, when you say, "What do you do? I'm a poet." Yes, but what do you really do?
Yes,
it does kind of convey that poetry doesn't generally pay. So what do you think being a poet laureate enables you to do in terms of just encouraging people to, you know, to write poetry, to appreciate poetry? You know, is it useful to have that kind of role in a society?
Well, what really, like, I'm in my element when I am introducing poetry to what I call the unpoeted. That is, the people who have most been put off by poetry, usually through their schooling experiences, and encountering a poem for them is like pressing their noses up against a glass window and they just can't get in, and it excludes them. So what gets my wheels rolling is being able to show people that everyone has the right to write, and that poetry is a vehicle for voice, however they might want to see the world. And so I've taken poetry from, I mean, I've worked in schools for the New Zealand Book Council's Writer in Schools program for about a decade now, but not just school kids. I've begun doing work the last 5 years taking poetry into the corporate sector, and specifically helping Pacifica leaders not leave their cultural selves at the corporate door. and to acknowledge that they can only enrich their workplace and the world by being true to their cultural selves and being able to articulate where they've come from, where they are, and where they're going through a poem. Now, this isn't just to the, you know, this isn't just for cultural minorities or Indigenous peoples. It's for everyone. But this is the group that I target because I just see, you know, there's a need for that. For more women, more Indigenous, more Pacifica at leadership positions in the corporate sector.
Now, you have a treaty. We don't have a lot of time to discuss what is an enormous issue, but do you think that the treaty that exists in New Zealand is generally perceived as being an asset to the nation?
I think, comparatively speaking, yes. It was really interesting. I've just flown back from Hawke's Bay, where I went to visit the carver of my own toko toko, Jacob Scott, who is the son of John Scott, a renowned architect. And we were biking at midnight, as you do, and he showed me, he pointed to an area, and he said the chief that used to own that area was one of the chiefs who refused to sign the Treaty of Waitangi. And he hid in a bush when the British soldiers came around to collect everyone for the signing. So I was fascinated, you know, that it's a day of uncertainty, and it's important that it remains a day of uncertainty because there are so many opinions and experiences of what that treaty means to different people. And you know, what it means to me is doing the work the rest of the days of the year. And for me, as a Pacifica poet scholar working, you know, in a university, it means ensuring representation of Indigenous voices in the English department.
Okay. Yeah, ambiguity, I think, is a useful concept. Selina Tusitala Marsh, Poet Laureate of New Zealand, how lovely to have you join us today.
Lovely to be here. Thanks, Hugh.